Here we are again for another edition of the Taxpayers Union's MPs in Depth. This week we've got Catherine Wedd with us from the National Party, the MP for
Tukituki.
Just checking I pronounce it right. Obviously I'm not from New Zealand. But congratulations firstly on your win, and it was a thumping win. I can only assume you were fairly elated on election night.
Oh yes, no, thank you, Ollie. Great to be on the program, and yeah, appreciate you coming in. But you know, we were thrilled with the result in Tukituki. It was a resounding message coming out of provincial New Zealand, and we actually ended up with a majority of over 10,000, which was the biggest majority the Tukituki seat has ever had. So yeah, really thankful to the people of Tukituki for backing me and getting behind me, and now I'm really keen to deliver and be an amazing local MP for Tukituki.
Absolutely. And I mean, we usually begin by talking about people's sort of early life and journey into politics. Now, with you, it's slightly different because a lot of people will talk about discussions they have around the dinner table when they're kids, but politics really is in your blood, isn't it? What with your grandfather? Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I've wanted to be an MP since I was a little girl, growing up on a farm in the King Country on the Forgotten World Highway just out of Taumarunui. And my grandfather was actually an MP in 1969. To 1972 for Whanganui, and then my grandmother actually also ran for Parliament.
Oh, really?
Yes, she did, and she was a bit of a woman before her time.
I was going to say, there can't have been many standing there.
No, not very many at all. In fact, I think that year there was about five female MPs that ended up going through, so she was certainly a woman before her time. She never made it into the chamber and never got a seat in the House, so I think she'd be pretty proud to be looking down now and seeing her granddaughter as part of a large representation of women in Parliament now. So, it's been in my blood, and I've always wanted to get into politics. I was actually a youth MP back in my final year at school in 1997.
I was going to bring that up, because we at the Taxpayers Union are used to criticising that and the expenditure. So perhaps, what did you get out of that? I mean, do you think it's a valuable thing?
Oh, I think it's really valuable to see young leaders coming through, and, it really ignited my passion for politics, and it gives you a really good taste of how it all works. And then I went on to study politics at university and law, and even at university I was into the debating and negotiation. I actually went over to the Australasia Law Negotiation Championships.
Wow.
And represented New Zealand, and we actually won the Australasia Law Negotiation Championship. So, always been very, very interested in politics.
You're always up for a fight.
Yeah, I was always up for it, so no, it was good. But actually finishing law, my law degree, I decided that I wanted to get into broadcasting, which was something that I was always really interested in, so ended up doing journalism, and this microphone here today is very familiar to me, because I ended up becoming a TV1 news reporter, and went over to the BBC and worked over in London at the BBC and did some reporting over there and covered some of the big international stories of the century. And then came back to Wellington and worked for TVNZ again. But more recently, I've obviously been in Hawke's Bay for the past 14 years. And that's where I moved into the horticulture sector, and have been a very, very strong advocate for our primary sector and will continue to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot to pick out there in your career to try and piece together how you managed to get to where you are and what makes you tick. And we'll start with the with your uni career, really. Why did you decide to do law and politics? Was it purely because that was always what you were interested in, but then you'd decide on a career later, or...?
Yeah, I was always, it was funny actually, when I was young at primary school, we were told to do a time capsule, and that you put into the time capsule what you wanted to be when you grow up. And I wrote a letter to myself, and I said that I wanted to be a broadcast journalist, I wanted to be a lawyer, and I wanted to be a politician.
Tick, tick, tick.
Tick, 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 and there we go. And so I've done all three, most probably three of the most unpopular professions of this century. But I did did law and then, you know, went into broadcasting and became a broadcast TV journalist. And sure. then, of course, now the political chapter begins. So
how long were you based over in the UK? Obviously, I'm from the UK, so that's particularly piqued my interest. But how long were you based in London? What sort of things did you cover?
Yeah, I was based in London for a couple of years and was fortunate actually to be covering the Obama elections
oh, wow.
in the US. That was a bit of a highlight for me when I was working at the BBC.
Height of the financial crash as well.
Yes, yeah. And that's right, just as, yeah, exactly. So covered a lot of that and just part of the international political stories. And then there was a lot of conflict in Gaza and Israel at that time as well. And then across the African continent, there were many, many wars.
Some
and then
never
the South African, you know, African National Congress and Jacob Zuma at that time. And so, you know, all of those things really just kind of ground you in terms of your international knowledge and, you know, what's happening overseas as well. So and coming back to New Zealand, I suppose it just makes you more worldly and understand, you know, some of those issues that other countries are facing and,
yeah.
you know, how fortunate, I suppose, we are here as a small nation, but it, also the challenges that we face as a small nation at the bottom of the globe, so remote away from everything, which I suppose brings me on to my next career that I entered was as a marketing executive for the horticulture sector, working as the head of marketing for Bostock New Zealand,
yeah, yeah.
which is a large organic apple grower in Hawke's Bay. And then I also sat on the industry board for New Zealand Apples and Pears. And, you know, I think there I really saw the value of the produce that we grow here in New Zealand and the importance of us being able to add value to that produce and sell it on the international stage. And,
absolutely.
You know, when agriculture is such a huge export for us, we just have so much potential and opportunity. And through that role, I travelled a lot overseas to Vietnam, to China, and, you know, was in those high-end supermarkets in China and in the wholesale markets in Vietnam. And, you know, we can see the potential
of New Zealand.
Yes, absolutely. And the quality and what we can do from, you know, packaging up four or five apples and some beautiful packaging and then, you know, selling them for $25, $30
yeah.
in Asia, and they'll buy this gift pack of apples and the value that we can add and the potential for our wonderful premium produce. I mean, we're never going to feed the world at the bottom of the globe in a little nation, but what we can do is produce the most premium produce
absolutely.
In the world and add value to it and get as much out of the supply chain as we possibly can. And so, you know, I'll be a very strong advocate for our primary sector.
I was going to say, you clearly are. And that's presumably going to be one of your areas of predilection, one, because it matters to Tuki Tuki, but two, because of your background.
Yeah, absolutely. And Tuki Tuki is quite a diverse electorate. We have got a large group of farmers. We're the powerhouse of horticulture, the fruit bowl of New Zealand. And, you know, it's important that we're representing our farmers and our growers. But we also have, you know, Flaxmere, Hastings and Havelock North. Mm. And, you know, across those areas we see a very diverse range of socioeconomic groups. So, you know, it's important for me to make sure that I'm connecting with every area of our electorate
absolutely.
And all our communities. But no, I certainly obviously have a very strong background in the primary sector and trade and exports. And, you know, it's a big area for our region. It's really what gets
yeah.
the Hawke's Bay economy ticking, but also the New Zealand
yeah.
economy. So I feel like I'm bringing that skill set to the table.
Absolutely. I mean, what sort of problems do you see going forward for the horticulture sector that you've got to try and navigate as an MP and try and help them through? Where do you see it developing?
Yeah, I suppose having worked in the sector, you've got a really good practical first-hand knowledge of what's going on the ground. And, you know, workforce has always been a major issue. You know, it's seasonal. We need a lot of workers for a couple of months during the year to obviously pick the fruit at the optimum time and get it to market at the optimum time and make sure that we're getting as much value out of that product as we can. And so I'm a big advocate of the Recognised Seasonal Employment Scheme, which is the RSE scheme, which
yep.
is where we bring Pacific Island workers in from the Pacific Islands, and they come and work in our orchards and we look after them here in New Zealand. They pick the fruit, they earn a great amount of money that they can then bring back and invest in their own communities back in the Pacific. And, you know, I've seen some fantastic stories where they're helping build schools and water infrastructure
brilliant.
And, you know, giving their kids good education. And it's a really, really good partnership. And so I think the more that we can nurture that partnership and the more we can do in that space will be fantastic. But the growers growers and farmers have really struggled with a lot of red tape, regulation, compliance costs over the past 6 years. And so, you know, I want to be a really strong advocate to ensure that we are making it easier for our growers to grow, our farmers to farm, and our primary sector to really be able to get the wheels moving so that we can prosper as a nation, because that's what drives our economy. And it's really important that we're working together so that we can really get things moving.
Absolutely. And just to come back to what you were saying earlier, I think it was in your maiden speech that you think you've picked the three most unpopular, or at least some of the most unpopular careers, be it law, journalism and politics. Did you think it was particularly unpopular when you were doing it, or...?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I love a good debate. I love standing up for the Kiwi battler and, you know, getting out there. And I've always been quite an outspoken person and always been, you know, interested in representing my community.
It's an odd transition, do you not think, though, going from journalism to politician? It's always a bit poacher turned gamekeeper.
I think, though, it comes back to people. And, you know, as a journalist, I was out there connecting with thousands of people across the country, whether, you know, you're telling stories about, you know, I talked to mothers when they just lost their children through drink driving accidents, and they're advocating for more education and awareness around it, or, you know, rape victims who are wanting to see tougher sentences and more awareness and more support for victims, or, you know, whether you're out there talking to farmers that, you know, want to see less red tape around water storage, or, you know, you're connecting with a lot of people. And so I think in politics it's the same thing, but you're obviously on the other side. Actually, instead of being the storyteller, you can essentially be the story maker. And I think that's really important for me now, being able to, you know, I used to be able to try and make a difference by advocating and telling people's stories and putting pressure on the government in that sense, whereas now actually
you can actually be the chance to
make a difference and be in the team that's actually creating the positive narrative for New Zealand. And so that's what I'm really passionate about, is being part of a really strong team, and we've got a fantastic team of talent where we've got real life skills, real practical knowledge, and that's what we want to deliver now for New Zealand.
It's interesting that you say that, talk about the crossovers and what have you, because I was wondering, do you feel any sort of not quite responsibility, but do you feel as if any adversarial nature that may have developed over the past few years with politics becoming more and more polarised, adversarial nature between journalists and politicians, do you think that you can break that down? Do you think it's something that should be broken down?
Oh, I think that I've seen the media change over time since when I was a journalist. But the platform for media has changed a lot as well. Like when I was a journalist, we didn't have the social media and the immediate news. You know, people relied on the 6 o'clock news at night. And so I think with that comes, you know, the more accountability and I suppose, you know, journalists being able to, you know, write things just on the hour, every hour. And, you know, the public also being able to get involved in that with commentary as well. And so, you know, we've seen a digitalisation now as well. But I think we've got to make sure that we're always making sure that the, you know, the fourth estate, as they like to say, in terms of journalism, is separate and that we have balanced, accurate reporting. And so, you know, I'll always stand up for that. That's really important. And we need to make sure that we always have that independence, and we don't want to see those lines blurred between our fourth estate as our journalists and the parliamentary executive and judiciary.
Absolutely. Also on that, I suppose it might be slightly cheeky. There's something that we've been campaigning against for a while, which is obviously the Public Interest Journalism Fund. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but...
Oh, I think that the more stories and the more information that we can get out to the public in a transparent, accurate way, I think is... for the benefit of New Zealanders, I think is a good thing. But certainly, you know, that's something our new minister, I'm sure, will be looking at in terms of where that expenditure lies. And as you know, National was very against the RNZ-TVNZ merger and the wastage of spending that we saw in that project. And obviously, you know, the more, I think, accountability and more transparency that we can have in our New Zealand journalism, the better. And I'll be a really strong advocate for that as well.
Brilliant. There's a few quotes that I wanted to pick out from your maiden speech. One of them which intrigued me was you said enough of ideology, albeit this was within a wider context of you were saying enough of ideology, enough of bureaucracy. I thought that was an interesting thing to say. What is your ideology?
Well, I'm all about the do, and I think that, you know, now that we're in as a government, we need to, you know, walk the talk. And as I've already said to you, you know, the primary sector is an area that, you know, I'm really passionate about. And I think that, you know, if we can come in as a government and we can, you know, cut a lot of that red tape, we can get rid of that regulation and compliance, and, you know, we can make it easier for our economy to grow, and we can focus on the trade deals that we need to broker with, you know, India and some of the opportunity with some of the trade deals that we already have to be able to, you know, get more out of them, I think that, you know, we'll be doing well as a government. But also, you know, coming back to the public services is really, really important. I mean, we've had a lot of talk around, you know, education and a lot of money spent, and a lot of talk around health and a lot of money spent on centralising everything. But, you know, for us as a government, and for me personally, I want to see that money coming back into the front line. I want to see it in our hospitals in Hawke's Bay. I want to see it in our schools in Hawke's Bay. And I see it in our businesses and in our community. And so, you know, it's all very well to talk a big talk around, you know, what you think, but actually you've got to do the do. And I think that, you know, even in our first 100 days, you're seeing the national government move really, really fast, you know.
Well, we're ticking more than lots happy of things with three up. Waters, that's for sure.
Yes, yeah, that's gone, you know. So, but then at the same time, we recognise that, you know, something has to happen, and we need to look at, you know, our local water done well. Hawke's Bay, particularly, as a region where all of the councils have got together and looked at how they can work together to have local ownership of our water and local control, I suppose, and they've presented a really, really good proposal to government. And, you know, that's something that I think is local water done well that we should be looking at.
So it seems that you value pragmatism before, I suppose, pontification, shall we say.
I just think that... I've always been a doer, and I've always been, you know, action, and I suppose I've always believed in self-responsibility, and I suppose you can see that in terms of where I've come from.
And National was the party that spoke to that most.
Absolutely. And, you know, growing up on a farm, you know, we were taught that you need to work hard and that you need to earn your own money, and then you need to be responsible for that. And then I suppose with my destiny and where I've come from, you know, as a child, and, you know, writing a letter to myself and then opening that letter 10 years later and seeing, well, actually, I've on a track to make that happen. I'm a big believer that we can make that happen, but it comes back to having a good education as well, and that's another area I'm certainly very passionate about with four young children myself. I think that if we can get education right, you know, we're doing really, really well in New Zealand, because, you know, they are our future generation, and I do believe that we need to be getting the basics right, you know, and we're already moving on that in terms of teaching an hour of reading, an hour of writing, and an hour of maths every day, but also banning cell phones and, you know, all of those other distractions. But, you know, I was given a good education. We lived, you know, 10Ks down a gravel road, an hour out of town, and my mother was so committed to education, and I think that's creates equality, and that's what we've really got to focus on. And we've got a wonderful Minister of Education who is 100% laser focused on getting education in this country right.
I think you're on message there. Because you talk about aspiration and vision for the country, so presumably that's part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've got to get our public services right, and you've got to look at the grassroots, and education is grassroots. So, you know, first we've got to get our kids to school. I mean, Hawke's Bay is one of the worst truancy rates in the country, and it is really concerning, concerning.
Forgive me for interrupting, but that is one of the few things. I've only been in the country a year now, and I cannot believe it took me quite a while to get my head around the actual truancy problem. I couldn't believe that that was allowed to go on.
No, that's
I've never
right.
known anything like it.
And that's right, and that's why we are, you know, addressing it, and it is a real concern, because if we can't get the kids to school, then they're not getting the education, and also it's creating, you know, a culture of dependency in this country, and it's affecting the most vulnerable children in our country. And so we have a duty as a government to make sure that we are getting our kids to school, and then we are giving them a world-class education. I mean, we used to be in the top in the world when it came to education, and, you know, now we've got some real issues, so we certainly need to get it back on track, and that's what's going to be a game changer for New Zealand.
Absolutely. Later on you said you won't accept mediocrity. That sounds quite a strong statement. To what were you referring?
Well, I think in general, it was the way that I was brought up. You know, you've always got to aspire bigger. And I suppose that's the way I bring my children up. You know, I mean, you don't want to push them too hard in terms of what their capability is. But I think what you can do is you can get people to aspire to go higher. And it's no different in this country. You know, we're not just going to accept a mediocre education system. We're not going to accept a mediocre health system.
It felt like it was born out of years of resentment, perhaps, for the previous administration.
I think that it's you, though, as well. You know, it's how you were brought up, and it's, you know, that comes back to that self-responsibility and, I suppose, ensuring that we're teaching everybody to aspire to their dreams, you know. I mean, that's why we're here. And so I think that we can do the same with the country, you know, and managing the books and managing good fiscal management and ensuring that, you know, we're not spiralling the country into further debt, that we're actually not looking at taxing more and spending more and, you know, that being our philosophy, we need to actually get in there and we need to be more productive as a country. And I think if we drive productivity, that's what's going to get us out of the debt that we're in, and that's where we need to put our focus. And you'll see that our finance minister is laser focused on that.
Absolutely. I mean, presumably all of this was sort of the thing that was coming up in the campaign in Tucky Tucky. That's exactly why people voted for you and for a change of government, because people were unhappy where things were going. Again, coming back to your career, you've been abroad a lot. Being a politician takes a toll on your time. You obviously have kids and a family. How do you square that circle in terms of the time that you've got to spend on work?
Oh, I think that that is a challenge. You know, as working mums, we've got to find the balance. But I also think it's really important that we have working mums representing us in Parliament as well. So, you know, I've had international jobs as well as, you know, travelling for work when I was in the Apple industry. And so, you know, it's no different. I think as modern families, we all work together and we find a balance. And, you know, we're a good, strong family unit. So it's important that you bring that diversity as a young mum, and that's important to me. Family's really important to me, and I think that family should form the core of our policy decision making, because that's what affects every other family out there. So I certainly want to be a strong representative for working families in New Zealand.
Now, your campaign, your election win was slightly more personal, if I may go into it, in that your Labour opponent you used to be in business with. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, we worked together at one point, and I think that you work with a lot of people in New Zealand. I also have worked with a lot of journalists who I'm now seeing around the corridors around here, and, you know, I worked in the Apple industry, and then a former colleague of mine at TVNZ then became the immigration minister, and, you know, you cross paths.
Didn't make it any more personal?
No, not at all. I think that in New Zealand it's a small world, it's a small place, and, you know, we are going to cross over in our careers at some point, and at the end of the day, we were running for the same job, and you know, at the end of the day, the voters spoke, and here I am in the Tucky Tucky seat.
Absolutely.
As the MP for Tucky Tucky.
Okay, we'll now sort of change tack onto questions that might be of interest to Taxpayers Union members and supporters. What is your least favourite tax and why?
That is a really good question. I think there's most probably many taxes that we've obviously campaigned on that we want to get rid of, but I think that it basically comes back to, again, you know, those personal values around self-responsibility. And, you know, as a government, as a national government, you know, we believe that you should be responsible for your money. You earned it, and so you need to be able to spend it how you think it should be spent and not how the government thinks it should be spent. So we're a party of less tax, and I think throughout this year you're going to see a commitment to that. I mean, obviously we campaigned to ensure that hardworking New Zealanders can keep more of what they earn, and I'll be a strong advocate for that. Our party's a strong advocate for that, and you'll see some of that policy roll out this year.
I can't push you on a specific.
No, you can't push me on a specific, but you know, that will come out within good time.
Not even the
ute tax was a good tax to go. Absolutely. I mean, there's so many taxes. I mean, Labor just taxed, you know, like no tomorrow. And we've seen the largest, as you know, tax intake of any
keeps me in a job.
Of any government. Exactly. And so, you know, that's something that we really need to address because, yeah. You know, taxing your way out of the country's debt and problems is not the way forward. You know, we need to be more productive as a sector. And you mentioned the ute tax. Obviously, we have a lot of utes in Hawke's Bay because, mm-hmm. You know, they are servicing the horticulture sector and on farm as well. And so we have to be realistic as well. And being realistic is saying, well, we don't need to have a ute tax in New Zealand and we don't need to put more cost on farmers in our primary sector. And, you know, let's be realistic. There's other ways that we can make money for the country, and that's productivity.
Mm. This one might be slightly more difficult then. What did the previous government do, either policy-wise or a programme that you secretly admired?
I literally am lost for words. There's nothing that I would say that I believe the previous
nothing
government did well. No, absolutely not. I think that we saw the most centralisation that we've ever seen. You know, we've seen, you know, ballooning bureaucracy, and we just saw so much wasteful spending, and it's just driven this country into a cost of living crisis, and, you know, for no better public health outcomes, or no better schools, or no better public services.
On that,
you know,
thought, then the final question: what is the most outrageous bit of public spending or wasteful spending from the past few years that really riled you?
Well, I think when I look at education, and I think that they've spent $5 billion more, and I look at what has been achieved, and there's nothing to show for it. As a mother of children and a parent, I feel, yeah, I do feel quite just frustrated that you have an opportunity, you're putting more money into something, but you're not getting a better outcome. But the same for health in New Zealand, and the billions of dollars that we've seen spent in health and the centralisation. And, you know, at the moment I'm speaking to nurses and doctors, and we've got a crisis absolutely everywhere you look. And so we've got a lot of work to do to sort things out. But I think too, you know, coming back to the primary sector as well, I mean, I think the infliction of red tape and regulation on business and, you know, on the people that are working really hard to try and drive this economy forward is wrong approach. And so we need to build back more optimism and more confidence, particularly in our primary sector. And we're already seeing that with a national government elected in October. You know, we are getting positive response, but now we need to deliver, and we now need to make sure that we are doing what we're saying we're going to do. And you're seeing that 100-day plan roll out, and it's certainly a lot of action. So we'll look forward to this next 3 years.
You're certainly not squeamish for the fight, and you've got enthusiasm in bucket loads. Catherine Webb, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
No, thank you.